Radio.com.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Fast away, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 24th of March 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island, a background to the news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates in person. And tonight, 14 new cases of COVID-19. 780 active cases, 16 people in Nobles, 3 in ICU. And in this update, Chief Minister doesn't want to impose draconian measures. Details of the confusion in the Keys yesterday. The Cabinet Office will investigate the DOI, and £1 million spent on the House of Mananin in 12 years. On Lockdown 3, Day 22.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai, 14 new cases of COVID-19 have been detected on the island in the past 24 hours. It brings the total number of active cases here to 780. Meanwhile, Chief Minister Howard Quayle says lockdown measures will not be strengthened if the number of unexplained cases continues to drop. Today's figure includes one unknown transmission case, two less than yesterday. Disruptions with the Manx.net mail service have now been fixed. Manx Telecom has released a statement saying emails will recover to individual mailboxes over the rest of the day, and they will continue to monitor the situation as a precaution. Further afield, and the UK government insists people fleeing harm in other countries will still have safe and legal routes to travel to the UK to seek shelter. But some charities say new plans for asylum seekers mean their claims will be assessed on how they arrived in Britain and not on if they need help. John Lewis is closing another 8 sites as it tries to adapt to changing shopping habits. Nearly 1,500 positions are at risk. And the Union flag is to be flown on UK government buildings every day. The UK Culture Secretary's Department has issued new guidance. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Garamaya, thank you, Rhiann, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. Some strong winds out in the North Irish Sea. There is a strong wind warning. Ben McCree just entering Douglas Harbour at the moment. He'll be on the stand in about 10 minutes' time. Any rain will clear this evening. That's going to be dry with clear spells through the night, down to 5 degrees Celsius. For Thursday, tomorrow, Jerdain, cloudy in the morning, intermittent drizzle on a strong south to southwest wind, dry with sunny spells in the afternoon, up to 11 degrees, and more rain overnight into Friday morning, down to 6 Celsius. After it dries up first thing on Friday, Jehenya, sunny spells, scattered showers on a strong west-southwesterly, top temperature 8 Celsius on Friday. Sunset 21 minutes before 7, high water 13 minutes to 9 tonight, low water 3 minutes to 3 a.m., sunrise 9 minutes past 6, high water tomorrow morning 9 minutes to 9, the clocks go forward at 1 o'clock Sunday morning.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online, manxglass.com.
There have been 14 new cases of COVID-19 identified today. Alex Watton with all the details.
Of the 14 new cases, just one has come from an unknown source, with the other 13 all traceable. The current active number of cases is 780, with 2,084 people in isolation. There are 16 people in hospital, 3 of whom are in the intensive care unit. Turning to the vaccine rollout, and more than 43,000 jabs have now been administered across the island. More than 29,000 of those are first doses, the remaining 14,000 second. And more than 4,900 vaccines are booked in over the next 7 days.
Lockdown measures on the island won't be strengthened if the numbers of unexplained cases of COVID-19 continue to fall. The Chief Minister says he doesn't want to bring in further draconian measures to curb the spread of the virus. The details from Tessa Hawley.
If we can get it down to zero, we'll come out of this without having to implement any further changes. I seriously and genuinely do not want to bring in any more draconian measures to drive this out of the island. And it really is up to the people of the island to do their utmost to stop it spreading.
Howard Quayle talking there about cases of coronavirus which can't be linked to an existing source. In the last 24 hours, there has been one identified. Government has previously stated it's looking for 21 days of no unexplained cases before looking to ease lockdown restrictions. It's an approach the island followed during the January lockdown and one which fellow Channel Island Guernsey also adopted successfully. However, in this current period of lockdown, we haven't yet reached one day clear. It's led to questions about whether the date proposed for restrictions to start being lifted, that's the 6th of April, is realistic.
Well, obviously, if we see another uptake and a spike of unexplained cases in the next week or so, then the Council of Ministers will have to take advice from our medics and our Director of Public Health to see whether we need to take further action. But I hope the measures that we've put in place will enable us to get shut of these unexplained cases. As I fully expect there to be a period of time as we have cases of people already in isolation, maybe household transmission of people who have already had it. But it's those unexplained cases where the problem is.
But if we don't see it drop, let's say this time next week, we're in exactly the same place. Have you got anything else in your arsenal that you can bring in to help those numbers go down?
Well, we can tighten up the movement of people, Paul, which we did at the start of the first outbreak. But let's hope we don't get there. The figures are looking promising. They're not going down as quickly as we had hoped, but they are going down. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening, it's 23 minutes before 6. Today there are 2,084 people self-isolating on the Isle of Man, and we also say welcome back to the land of the living, manx.net. An Onchan MHK says it's alarming that the Manx government was presented with no written advice that it was safe to open schools at the start of this month. Julie Edge MHK asked the Chief Minister to publish the guidance of the Council of Ministers that they'd received on Sunday 28th of February. That was the day after government had asked people to stay at home due to unexplained cases of COVID-19. Julie Edge spoke to Tessa Hawley.
To be honest, I cannot believe that we are making decisions on the island if it's just on verbal, no submission, no written submissions, no briefings from public health and particularly Department of Education. I would have expected there to be quite a big involvement that weekend because there was positive cases identified, which came out later. I think they advised that they knew of positive cases on the Friday.
Why do you feel that you didn't get the depth of answer that you wanted? I mean, obviously, for people that can't actually see this physical answer, it is two paragraphs long. It's five lines, the answer that you've been given.
I have no idea. I would expect if I was in a decision-making position that I would have clear facts in front of me and recommendations. And it was obvious from the briefing on that Sunday with the Chief Minister and the Health Minister, they said, carry on as normal, schools are perfectly safe to open. Certainly, I wouldn't have been making a decision if it was just verbal updates with you know, no structure behind it as to what the decision was getting made on. And more alarmingly, if there's ever to be a public inquiry going forward, where's this verbal information at that point?
And we are constantly told, aren't we, that the decisions are based on the data. I mean, they had an opportunity here to provide you with that data and they haven't. So effectively, it could be looked at that they're not following their own advice and their own messaging.
And I think this is where there's a lot of confusion because one thing's getting said and then it's getting changed. And you're right, it's the mixed messaging that's causing confusion. To be honest, I'm appalled at the answer that I've received. I expected more. I expected to know who, you know, it's quite clear I asked for what advice was received and to be told verbal updates. Well, that can be interpreted in many ways.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bat McCree left Heysham at a minute to two this afternoon. She's just spinning round in the inner harbour, ready to go onto the link span. And after discharging and recharging, heading off for Heysham this evening at 7.45, arriving about 11:30, the 2:15 a.m. departure, back to the Isle of Man for 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Due to the closure of the border, the Fastcraft season, which was due to start tomorrow, has been delayed. HSC Manana won't be recommencing services Tomorrow she'll be providing cover for the Bemecree's period of overhaul from the middle of next month, at which point the Arrow will provide the replacement freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
There was discombobulation in the Keys yesterday. Progress with the competitions bill came to a grinding halt. There was confusion at the clauses stage. It led to the mover, the Garth MHK Martin Perkins, trying to rescue the situation. But, well,
I do apologise to House on this problem that we've been having. It's a carryover issue from the previous sitting, and the fact that Mr. Shimmons decided not to move his amendments, that confusion has reigned, and hopefully we can sort it out now. Mr. Collister was meant to be moving the amendment that amended the drafting detail, correcting the minor error in the bill, which was clause 25(9). To the referring to notification of the proposed merger. Have you got that with you, Mr. Collister?
Mr. Speaker, I have to admit, I thought Amendment 10 was failing, so I'm a little confused, Mr. Speaker, and I think personally, I think we should.
Right.
I need some guidance here to help me through this one.
In which case, then, we'll abandon consideration of the competition bill because otherwise we're in danger of making a misstep, and that would be somewhat unfortunate. So we will abandon consideration of the Competition Bill 2020. Clause 25 having been moved and seconded, but the amendments not having been moved and seconded, we will at that point suspend consideration of that bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It will appear on the order paper from that point onwards at the next sitting, unless we are advised otherwise.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 18 minutes before six. For the first time in over a year, festival goers in the Netherlands partied like there's no corona. Researchers in the events industry there organised the Back to Life Festival last weekend to explore the future of large gatherings. Participants had to show a negative COVID test, have their temperature checked at the entrance, and wear a motion sensor to track their movements. 5 days later, everybody gets tested again to study the risk of infection. The inability to perform in front of fans during the pandemics had a catastrophic financial impact on artists, production staff, live venues, and their employees. A giant container ship the length of four football pitches is wedged across the Suez Canal, blocking traffic in one of the world's busiest trade routes. Dozens of vessels are stuck waiting for rescue boats to get the 400-metre-long, that's 1,312-feet, ship moving after strong winds knocked it off course. Egypt's reopened the canal's older channel to divert some traffic until the grounded ship can move, but there are long and expensive tailbacks. 12%, an eighth of the global trade, passes through the Suez Canal, which connects the Mediterranean to the Red Sea and provides the shortest sea link between Asia and Europe. The vessel is the Ever Given, is registered in Panama and was bound for Rotterdam from China. And if they can't pull her free in the high tide, they're going to start unloading some of the 20,000 20-foot shipping containers.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed mixed amid renewed concerns over the global economic recovery. The dollar edged lower. Oil rose after that ship ran aground in the Suez Canal, and the worries that the incident could tie up crude shipments and give prices a boost after a slide over the last few weeks. It's an ill wind. Gold rose, and in corporate news, Halma was on the front foot after the safety and protection company said annual profit would beat expectations. On the downside, BT lost ground after it announced it'll pay its frontline workers a one-off pandemic bonus of £1,500. And the numbers now at the close from Ramsey Crookall in London, 5 o'clock. The FTSE 100 up a fifth of a percent at 6,712. The DAX in Frankfurt closed down a third of a percent at 14,610. Currently in New York City, Ramsey Crookall report the Dow Jones Industrial up 1% at 32,765. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down four-tenths of a percent at 13,173. and the S&P 500 in Chicago up almost 0.7% at 3,936. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 37.2 cents, €1 16 cents, and 20 South African rand 38.5 cents. And in commodities, gold up 0.4% at $1,734 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 6.7% at $64.42.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Good evening. Thanks for joining Manx Radio live from the Isle of Man. It's 14 minutes before six. The outgoing director of Manx National Heritage claims more than £1 million has been spent on maintaining the House of Mananan in Peel since 2009. Edmund Southworth is set to retire next month after being in the post for more than a decade. He says investment's gone into refurbishing the museum, installing a cafe and creating a new education space. He spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
Spent over £1 million on it anyway, without much fanfare and without really tackling all the issues. I liken sometimes the role of the director of M&H as the director of a shipyard who is maintaining a fleet, and as soon as one boat goes out of the dock, another one comes in, and you try your best to keep them all shipshape, sparkling and fit for purpose. But that in previous decades, the shipyard was building ships, maintaining a fleet, whether it's buses, trains, or museums, is never ending. It's not just that the standards go up, it's that the buildings themselves get older. You know, yes, it was a 6 million development, but I dread to think how much Peel Castle cost when it was first built.
You say £1 million has been spent, sorry, on the House of Mananan.
Yes.
In your time. What has that money gone on?
We converted the former exhibition space into a temporary exhibition gallery, a complete refurbishment with new lights, new heating, new wall systems so we could do temporary exhibitions. We remodeled the shop. We put the reception desk in a different place and we extended the shop. We created a cafe, which hadn't been there in the first place. And that's on the ground floor, the very, very good cafe, which keeps people coming in through the winter. We created a new education space up on the first floor, top floor, a meeting room. And then we started moving inside, and a few years ago, we did a new gallery on the Kingdom of Man and the Isles. And then in addition to that, we've taken out some of the displays that didn't work and replaced them with some new screens, new technologies. We've probably done about a third of the building, and in the next 2 or 3 years, we'll go back and do some more.
Manx Radio Sport.
Bastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Bastamai, good evening. Well, the deadline is looming for the 2021 Early Bird Parish Walk discounts. So far, more than 1,300 people have entered, and if you want to get a discounted entry price, you have just 1 week left to do so. At the moment, the popular annual challenge is due to go ahead. However, it's unlikely off-island entrants will be able to attend. Instead, their entries will be carried over to 2022. Going back to those early bird discount entries, though, the deadline for them closes on the 31st of March. After that, entry prices will go back to normal. The link to enter can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. In international sport, and Manchester City face an uphill battle if they are to reach the last four of the Women's Champions League. They lost the first leg of their quarter-final with Barcelona 3-0. But boss Gareth Taylor is confident they can overturn the deficit at the Academy Stadium next week.
For me, you know, still, I've just spoken to the girls there and it's still half-time. We're capable of scoring that amount of goals to get us through. And that's what we're working on, building up to next week's game.
In athletics, and world heptathlon champion Katarina Johnson-Thompson says Olympic success this summer will be determined by those who have coped best with the pandemic. COVID-19 has severely affected athletes' preparations for Tokyo 2020, which is finally due to take place in July, having been postponed last year. The Briton said there would be gold medal prospects who would fall short. And in golf, Rory McIlroy takes on Ian Poulter this afternoon in the pick of the opening matches at the World Golf Championship match play. England's Matt Fitzpatrick plays Jordan Spieth in his opening group match. The American is a three-time major champion, but has slipped to 54th in the world rankings.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
One departure.
Open as normal during this circuit break.
And one arrival at Ronald's Way Airport, the 5 o'clock to Liverpool. The Logan Air patient transfer plane departed 11 minutes late, back this evening at 20 to 7. On the roads, the Matrix signs showing nothing to report at the moment, although there is some mist swirling around the mountain. The Matrix signs say it's all clear at the moment. St George's Walk in Douglas is closed between Prospect Hill and the entrance to the Santander staff car park for some roof repairs at Isle of Man Bank. Quarterbridge Road, that should all wrap up a week today. The nighttime closures 6 till 6 for resurfacing and footpath reconstruction. In Castletown, Ellerslie Gardens and Malou Street closed to vehicles between the junction with School Hill Avenue and the cross for some drainage work. And also in Castletown, West Hill, West Hill Avenue and West Hill Avenue service lane, some closures there for construction of new properties and associated highway risk works as well. By the way, if you're looking to when they're going to start doing Pullrose Bridge, don't make any plans. They're putting it off for the moment, probably until after lockdown. But the Pullrose Bridge closed for replacement was due to be a couple of weeks ago that it started. Not yet. And also in East Quay, in Peel, between the junction with St Peter's Lane and the entrance to the House of Manannan car park, the whole of Station Place, MUA is replacing water mains and sewers there. All the details at manxradio.com on the travel page.
Order your tyres online outright or with a payment plan at tyresformycar.co.uk and we'll come to you free during lockdown. Reduce contact. Beat the virus spread.
A review has been commissioned by the Cabinet Office into governance and management at the Department of Infrastructure. The Beaman report comes with the DOI under pressure over its handling of major capital projects. But the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Baker, welcomes the review and he's praised his staff for doing a tough job under difficult circumstances.
Certainly from my own point of view, there's no secret to this. I think some elements that the department currently does could be done through a different model. So we already know that the airport is potentially going to go to an arm's length body. That's been through Tim Wald, and that's a work in progress. But I've also said publicly that, for example, the Heritage Rail operations, I don't see them as fitting with the infrastructure, service delivery and asset management role that is what the department is primarily there to do. So that came from my initial look at the department when I took over as minister. And this is really providing some external input into that sort of thought process. As I say, it may conclude that the department's either trying to do too much, or it may conclude that it needs some additional resources, in order to do what it's already doing.
Do you see this as a direct result of the management of certain capital projects over the last 3 or 4 years? Because people will say, oh, look, reviews come up, this follows the promenade, this follows the Liverpool landing stage. Is that fair to say this is a result of those things?
No, I think it's all part of the picture. You and both the promenade and the Isle of Man ferry terminal at Liverpool, to give it its proper name, have been huge capital projects, both of which have had challenges. And you've effectively, the department has been engaged in delivering both of those, and they're probably the two biggest capital projects in the Isle of Man in the last 10 years or so, at the same time as doing all its day-to-day work, which is extensive, as we know. I mean, the whole thing about the department is that it's at the heart of day-to-day life across the island, with the scope of its services. And then when you play into that the core role that the department plays in managing things like the COVID situation and the flexibility of the department and its ability to respond and just get things done is one of its core strengths.
The Isle of Man's head of mental health, Ross Bailey, says we're going to come out of this pandemic into another one of mental health problems. He's been addressing the backlash of the coronavirus crisis and how the Manx government plans to fill in the gaps in mental health care. He was speaking at a pre-recorded government briefing.
We've also, and this is a real significance for us, we're looking at this year, we've teamed up with our colleagues in the Department of Education and Chester University to train local CBT therapists, and that's a two-year programme, and that's going to start in the second quarter of this year. So that's looking at harvesting local talent on the island, given the opportunity to train as CBT therapists and work both within our services and the wider third sector. So that's a fantastic initiative that we're enormously proud of.
If money was no object, and I have to say, and I'm sure you agree, this issue can be far from resolved from just throwing money at it.
Absolutely.
Would there be an argument for having a crisis team, or almost a mental health A&E equivalent?
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, we have a crisis team at the moment that kind of acts in that capacity, dealing with...
But in terms of 24/7, I mean...
It's a 24/7 provision at the moment, James. We have it's covered 24/7, 7 days a week, and we're actually remodelling the way that crisis team operates and looking at adding a more additional staff to that service. So really bolstering our response to people, making sure that people are seen and assessed in a timely fashion and then have access to the right care pathway.
If that's in place, then in that case, why are so many people of all ages falling through the cracks?
Well, I think with all the will in the world, James, the mental health service is never going to be the answer to the mental health and emotional wellbeing difficulties on the island. We're a very, very important cog in the wheel, but we're absolutely a cog in the wheel. And I think that's where that collaborative approach comes in with our third sector colleagues.
Ross Bailey talking to Isle of Man Advertising's James Davis. That's it for Update. Compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans, producer Tessa Hawley. I'm Andy Wynn. Back same time, 5:30 tomorrow.
WINT.